Yeah, I got my free guitar
today. By the way.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. That's official.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is
what?
My name is
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah. Here we go, people.
Let's get it.
Time to make it do what it do.
Hey.
Wow. Yes, talking sports.
Back to Wednesday night.
Man. We are back on Wednesdays, and again, you know, it's just one of the situations where it feels like this is back to being normal, if you will. So, fellas, welcome. Today is July the 8th. We're just progressing through this crazy year. A lot of things are happening. I'm, again, going to plead for everyone to follow protocol, wash your hands, wash everything, keep the mask, all
wash
that fun stuff, you know, all that same thing, yeah, all that fun stuff, too. But, again, because, you know, again, selfishly, I would like to see sports, but I see that it doesn't happen. Let's just kind of make sure that everyone stays safe. So, again, that is Andre's public service announcement, as always. But, again, fellas, we are ready to talk some sports. We got a lot of topics to dive into. So, again, if you didn't listen to last week's podcast, that was amazing. We literally spent, like, 2 hours just talking, and it was amazing, too. So, again, if you want to download a podcast, last week was great, too. But, again, let's kick this off. We are keeping this going. Season 6, if you will, episode number 167. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain. I went out and got me a round in. Made sure I cooked some dinner for the girls before I left. And ready to talk some sports with y'all, fellas. How you doing?
Nice. I'm doing fantastic, as always. Appreciate you setting the stage. Our next co-host, again, he's probably eating asparagus at some point. If you will, but we are going to wish him happy birthday. I'm not gonna pick on him too much, but again, happy birthday to Rob Ford, if you will.
Happy
so, Rob, how you feeling this evening, bro?
Feeling good, fellas. Ready to get this party started. Yes, and I did get that asparagus in. Obviously, you know, had a little shrimp for the protein to go with it. And if you haven't been to the state of Texas, kolaches is a must for breakfast.
Kolaches. Okay.
Hey, you got that 50 cent coffee since you turned 50, didn't you?
Hey, man, no. 25, man, half of 50. I don't know what you're talking about.
Funny, man.
That's art card. The 80 cent coffee at McDonald's.
The only thing I'm really sad about, and you guys missing Texas. I would have loved, if we can get back to some kind of normal, I'm really seeing good value in all of us meeting in Houston and going to a Houston Texan football game. I really like that stadium. I really like the prices they have in that stadium for pretty good seats. And it seems like it's almost central to where we're all at, and we should be able to fly everybody in there. And the hotels don't seem that bad either in Houston. So, now okay. I've been thinking about that. If we can get to some kind of normal, I'm going to try to plan for all of us to be in Houston and go to a pro football game. I think
yeah,
that would be out of time.
I've never been in that stadium either.
That's got a lot of bad memories in that stadium, but I'm willing to put them aside.
And I drive bad past it almost every day.
What'd you say, JQ? Did you say you too?
I say yeah.
I'm just saying too, but it's all good. I think if another thing that would be really cool, Curtis, if we can somehow meet up in Vegas too, that'd be a cool opportunity to go. I don't know how that could play out too. I know it may be a little crazy. I think we're enough, we could be responsible, definitely have a great time as males, but that'd be a fun just to experience that as well at some point to see football in Vegas too. But again, before I introduce your show, Curtis and Gary,
I don't want y'all
to
get drunk. You can't remember what happened the night before either in Vegas.
That sounds a little dangerous for all of us. If you know what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I don't know if that's going to be a good thing.
I was going for football. I don't know what y'all are talking about. I mean, I've been there. And, you know, again, I've been to the same.
Oh.
Yeah,
if Gary and JQ is on board, we might be having a hangover three.
That is a fact. I will own that.
But when I look around the league, I'm looking for what I feel like a good value ticket. And one of the things I don't imagine that new stadium in Vegas would be a good value ticket. I don't know.
There's going to be a lot of fans of the visiting team want to go to the game there.
Yeah. I'm totally cool with that, Curtis. If we pull off Houston, that's a good call, too. Really quickly, Gary, in spite of the shot by Rob, how you feel this evening, sir?
You know, we're doing good. The wife's out of town right now, so she's having thoughts and prayers. Her dad is not doing well.
No.
Yeah. So she's up in Spokane, Washington, Eastern Washington, with her family. And I'm holding the fort down here. So it hasn't been a big party down here. You know, my mom and dad, they still won't let me throw a party. So,
man, sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah. But so we're, you know, so Curtis and I initially, when we got on, we're like, okay, it worked getting on this Zoom and everything. It worked okay this week. Hopefully it works again, because we didn't have Arnetta this week as our, as our tech support. We're on. It worked.
But Gary got us on last week. What I've noticed,
Gary got us on last week without.
What's that?
It's how I set it. Whenever I set it up, I have to set it up whenever I do the meeting, if I just immediately do an instant meeting for some reason, then like that. So I have to go through the process, set up the meeting, and then invite you guys. So that seems to be the route that appears to be working. So I do it every single week, man. So again, I want to give a shout out to myself, because a lot of times, you know, Rob would give me a hard time, and I'm like, hey, if you want to lead the show, you can lead the show, man. How about that, man? You know, there's a lot that goes behind the scenes with this, man. So one day I'm gonna let somebody else take this and see how easy and smooth it goes. So there you go. It's what I like to do. America, it's fun, though, man.
Handle your lane, bro.
Anyway, hey, really quickly, we got Lou joining us as well too, and we're gonna let Lou give us his show, because we're trying to call in. We want to make sure that we get the right time for Lou. I know, like I said, he does call in. It's been a lot, so we definitely want to show him some support too. So, Lou, whenever you get some time, plug your show, tell us the time. Again, give us a number. We're going to literally text the crew, so make sure we can check in with you and make sure that we give some love as you give us love as well too. So, again, really quickly, I'm going to throw the numbers out really quickly. We'll jump into the topics tonight, because it's real explosive, I would say. We have to be off by 12:10. So the East Coasters can get some rest. So that's something that, again, I'm going to stress. Let us get off the show so we can get up. We got things to do. We can talk to you guys at 3 o'clock in the morning.
It's not – it's
but we
8
have
o'clock
to.
For you
we
out there. You're shaking your head at me.
I'm with you.
You knew it was you, too, don't you? That's right.
No, I'm in Cleveland.
The message went right – the message went to the right guy. Yeah.
As much as I love y'all. So I'm trying to say that if we can be very succinct with our responses, because we can trail off and we get excited about things, but just try to keep, you know, that in mind. I don't want to have a timer on you guys, but again, just we want to get through all the topics and make sure that everyone is good. Shout out to my wife, because she's actually here hanging out with me in Charlotte, so she's been having fun. So I'll give a shout out her in a quick second too. So you probably see the background. Yeah, Marcy's having fun. So she's gonna check it in a quick second too. So she's got to do something with her hair. I don't know. But
thanks
anyway,
for keeping Andre out of trouble.
She's never gonna keep me out of trouble. What? Okay, I gotta chill out. All right. Anyway, before I get in trouble. All right,
you gotta get offline now for a minute.
The screen goes black. Right. All right, gentlemen, let's start the numbers really quickly. The number that Lou called in, everyone, it's always the same as every single week. It's always the 424-243-9519. Follow us on that, if you will, the number. We're on Twitter at the number 12, THME and Sports. Again, 12th Man Sports. And then last but not least, go to facebook.com/talkingsports with 12th Man, or if you put 12th Man Sports, you'll find us. Shout out to Rob for actually posting the mock draft for the NBA. And again, we've been talking about that the last couple of weeks. We can dive in that again as well. We got a lot of things to talk about, so we'll get that started too. So. What'd you say, Rob?
A few changes to the mock draft. Quite a few changes,
okay.
Actually.
So we got 20 minutes to get into that too, so keep that pegged. All right, so first and foremost, gentlemen, we got to be succinct, and this is hard because we're in an interesting time of society, so we got to talk about Deshaun Watson, his comments, if you will. And I try to start out with Rob, JQ, West Coast, and then kind of go to Luke. So we're going to kind of keep it in that frame of mind too. So, again, I'm going to try to wrap it up. But, Rob, I'm going to kick this off, man, and very interesting as far as what Jake, what Deshaun Watson had actually said. So go ahead, Rob.
Well, I mean, obviously what he did was very less than smart. And obviously in these times right now where we're trying to bring peace, peace in the land between everyone, and, you know, very disappointed in Deshaun Jackson, you know, 33 years old, a veteran in the league, and, you know, to make those comments in regards to the Jewish community, I think was, you know, very insensitive, very less than smart in that regard. And, I mean, I won't stay on it too long and give you guys an opportunity, I know, for the sake of time, but, you know, just in a nutshell, you know, I mean, right now what's really important for us, you know, as a nation, as a world, is that we need to bring peace amongst one another. And Deshaun Jackson did not display that. You know, very poor representation of what we're trying to bring into, you know, into our lives, into the nation, into the world. And obviously he's going to be penalized for it some kind of way in the from the NFL. So, you know, it was very, very poor taste, lack of thinking. And, you know, in this social media world today, you got to be real mindful, you know, before you hit send and what you're putting out there. And, you know, just very disappointed.
Yeah, and he hurts the movement with that, and the fact that nobody else came and jumped out and said, hey, bro, that's not it, also hurts the movement as well. So, you know, two steps forward, one step back. I was really disappointed in those comments. And he's too old at this point. You know what you're putting out there. You know, the same way if it was the other way around, you know, if a white person would say something like that about the black community, they would have been crucified at this point and probably lost their job. And the team would have had to just take the cap hit for it. And the NFL would try to find a way to make it work their while. Just inexcusable from Deshaun Jackson. And I also hold the other, you know, black athletes accountable as well. Nobody has come out and jumped out and said, hey, bro, that's not it. So when you have him say that and you compound it, when nobody comes out and says, hey, you know, that's not what you need to say, that's wrong, then you take it a step back, because then it comes back to where you're saying black lives matter and nothing else matters. When we've been saying the whole time that's not the case, that all lives matter, but all lives matter can't matter until black lives matter. But when you come out and say that as Deshaun Jackson, and nobody comes out and checks him on it and stands up for it, then it hurts the movement. So I was super disappointed in him for saying that, super disappointed, and he's going to take the luster and the meaning out of what's been trying to be done with what's happened here in the past couple of months by saying that. Just no place for it. There's just no place for it.
Yeah. And the owners of the Philadelphia Eagles are also Jewish, too. I mean, you would think you would be even more sensitive in regards to that, too.
Even if they weren't,
well,
you can't say that.
The only thing I would say on it, you know, I agree with all that's been said so far. What, you know, what do you think the Eagles are going to do with this? Are they going to come down? How harsh are they going to come down on this guy? Is he cut?
No.
Is he? What's going to happen? That's what I'd like to know.
The language in the contract, they said they couldn't cut him for it, but you know, I still feel like in the court of public opinion that even if they cut him, Deshaun Jackson, if he tried to appeal it, would lose in the court of public opinion. They when you don't come down on him immediately really hard, then you still lose that piece of it, because like I said, if the situation was reversed, you would come down hard on a white person for saying that about the black community. It's just, it's.
But that did happen in
that situation.
Riley Cooper did say that as well.
He did.
And he didn't get cut. He probably got, you know, they probably will let him get
a
couple catches, a couple passes. But,
he got an extension by the Eagles. He didn't not get cut. He got an extension. But that's not the time that him saying that in that time, even though it was still bad, is not the time that we're in now. We have a really golden opportunity right now to seize this moment and try to move this ball forward. And when you do that and then the Eagles don't come down like this on him, then it sets it back because now it says that, you know, certain people have a certain pardon to say certain things where other people can't. And that's not what you want. You just can't have it. So I'm with you, Gary. I mean, they said they were trying to go through the fine language of the contract to see if they could cut him. But even if they did, to me, you cut him. And if you have to pay him in the grievances, so what? But the statement that you make is that we're not going to suffer from this side, and we're also not going to suffer from this side. You have to make that statement. And he just put them in a bad situation, but they were supposed to come down hard on DeSean Jackson. He's 33 freaking years old. You know better than that.
Well, and the season hasn't started yet, so is there a way that they could cut him like, oh, I'm sorry, you know what, you're just not good enough to make our team type of a scenario? Is there a way around it?
I think the problem is they were trying to find a way to cut him without paying the money.
Let him have the money and get him the hell out of here, out of there then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to pay a fine, you're going to do whatever anyway, cut your losses, take your whatever, however, $6 million or whatever he makes a year and say, you know what, go find a new home if you can.
Well, that's the power of unions. Unions can protect some of these guys like that. What DeSean Jackson did for me, it just reminds me of growing up. When I grew up, and I grew up in a neighborhood, and I grew up around black guys, that I thought all black guys were like. I thought we all liked sports. I thought we all liked girls. I thought we all could dance. And I thought we all listened to the same music. As an adult, and as you can see now, it's a hard thing as a black person to realize that we're not all on the same page. As black men in America, and as we are, we're not on the same page. We don't have the same interests. We don't have the same anything. And you can kind of see what I'm listening to coming from the NBA coming back. All the different guys in the NBA with their different reasons and their different things they want to talk about and deal with, they're not on the same page. And then it hurts me as a black man to see black people at a Trump rally.
Gary Curtis,
I agree with him.
That's not the blackness that I'm about. That's not the blackness that I'm about. But it's hard to hear and see that we have black people that are, and I'm not going to say nothing negative, but they're there. And that just shows us how far apart we are. And
so bring it
how
home,
we
Curtis.
Can't go on a block. And one of the things I've always thought, the Jewish people, the gay people, they vote in a block. And if we ever got together and can be on one page, and if we can vote as a block, we would have this kind of power that really scares this nation. But we can't.
Divide and conquer, my friend.
And
divide
we don't.
Divide and conquer, my friend. Divide and conquer. Lou, what do you have to say? Wow. Okay. That's pretty heavy. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I mean, those comments are made, I think, there's no excuse for that. I mean, first, you know, it's the blacks, and then you're attacking the Jewish people. No, I don't really appreciate that. I mean, in case you don't notice that I am not black, but I do agree with some of the comments. You know, always survive. You don't have the same as back in our generation. You know, that you all like the same things as we once did. I mean, it's society has changed in the last 30 years. I'm showing my age here. But, you know, a lot has changed, and I don't think it's been for the better. And,
right.
You know, rioting and protesting, what, you know, that's, I hate to say it, but it's not going to bring peace. I mean, I get the point that, you know, you're angry and whatnot, but it's not going to bring you peace. It's just going to bring more chaos. And so that means,
well, you know what, I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to stop you right there, because you look at history in general throughout time. Every time there's been serious change, there's always been an upheaval. There's always been protest. There's always been this thing coming on. So I want to make it perfectly clear that this is a good time for all Americans to understand what's happened with this group of people. Stand together, stand as one, and say no more. Look at your history books, because it's there.
I think, yeah. Lou, and I appreciate really quickly, I'm going to say this, Lou, and I appreciate you coming out and talking, because, you know, I know we obviously know that you're not black, which is still cool with us, obviously, but we want to make sure that the show has been, obviously, it's been open. And I think the thing that we want to talk is we want to have a dialogue, we want to have a conversation, because not everyone's going to be the same and whatnot. And so
of course not.
Whenever you say that conversation, you know, you make the comment, and that's something that I know that we hear that a lot. It's like, well, why are you looting? Why are you rioting? And blah, blah, blah. And to kind of side with what Gary's talking about, and again, I think the thing that's frustrating is for us in our community is, like, we've always done that. You know, you've heard the Martin Luther King quote that, you know, a riot is kind of like the there's a quote that I'm probably butchering. I hear it all the time, but basically it's kind of the language of I'm messed up this quote, but basically meaning that it's a way for us to talk. You know, so we don't want to. We've always tried to be silent. We've always tried to be peaceful, and that's not doing anything. We've been doing this for like years, so we've kind of turned the other cheek, and we've, you know, been having the silent process with Colin Kaepernick, and now the one time that we're actually doing that, that's whenever people are like paying attention to us. We're like, we don't want to loot, but it's like that's the only way you can get our attention. Like, we try to be like good little people and just be like in our corner and, you know, be peaceful, and then y'all still like hit us and talk about the flag. And there's always these things, so this is the only way to get our message across. And that's the way, the, like, you know, it's like the powder keg, everything happens. So it doesn't mean that we're not everyone's happy with it, because there's a lot of peaceful protests and a lot of things that we think that have been
one thing
instigated. But again, it's just don't always just kind of always say that everyone's going to say we're cool with that. But that's the only thing that gets everyone's attention. So I think that's something that, you know, it's one of those crazy things too. So anyway, I don't know.
You know, this group of protesters we've been having here over the last couple of months here, or last 6 weeks, rather, I think, to be exact. I think somewhere around 5 or 6 weeks we are right now on it.
Yeah.
But as many protests as we've had in our country in the 1960s, this is the longest time and the largest amount of protests that we've had in our history. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I totally agree with Gary. This is these group of protests, we're sending a message. And a message is being sent that it's time for change in this nation. That's been long overdue, very long overdue. I mean, we're going back to 1619 here, and, you know,
1619.
This is
kind of,
1619, over 400 years.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm with you.
It's
I know
long
exactly
overdue,
that.
So it's a message is being sent. And yeah, and I was just listening to a report a couple of days ago that this is the largest amount of protest that we've ever had in one time frame in our nation's history. I mean, you would think the amount of protest that we had in the 60s would trump this, but it has not. And a message needs to be sent. It's time for change. There's still too much divide. And even with these protests, there's still a lot of divide. I mean, I think 100%. We're making a difference, but it's if you all you have to do is go to a blog, and you'll see the kind of divide that we still have in this nation right now when it comes to race.
Right.
I'm not talking about divide when it comes to politics, but there's still a huge divide in this nation when it comes to race, and it's very sad. It's very sad. And you know, and I'm gonna make a comment here, and it's maybe controversial here, but you know, I actually think this pandemic, God has allowed this to happen because we need change.
Absolutely.
When it comes to racial issues in this, not only in this country but around the world too.
I agree. Riots are the language of the unheard is what the correct quote from MLK is all trying to basically say, too. So just I wanted to not mess that up, too. So appreciate you guys.
Well,
doing
and
it.
Rob, if I can back something up on that, you know, it would be one thing if those protesters would have been out there for, you know, a couple, 3 days, maybe a week, and then as they dwindle down, it's next to nothing. But it's not.
Right.
It's just tonight. It'll be just like the first night. They're out there, except one thing. They're more organized. You've got a lot of the people that are organizing these peaceful marches around the country, and they're really trying to bring in a lot of the, you know, the vandalism and things like that that gets, you know, sensationalized on the news and stuff. But they bring a lot of that organization now, and so I'm grateful for it. You know, I think it's fantastic.
We'll let Lou kind of like, we'll let Lou talk because, again, I just want to say, Lou, because, again, I want you to definitely understand that. Appreciate you. And we are all not a fan of the rioting and the looting. But, again, we understand why it's occurring because of the frustration. So I want you to understand that as well, okay, sir? Because, again, it's like not like we're like, yo, you know, it's just like, man, you know, we get it because it's just been happening for so long. And we're tired of like just things that's happening. So this, the powder keg has been lit, and you know, that's kind of where we are right now too. So, you know, I just want you to understand that too, you know, so it takes a lot of courage to say what you said too, for sure. You know,
well, thank you. I mean, I get, you know, the frustration when I, what's happened over the last 6 weeks, because, you know, there was no need for that. And I'll say one thing, that what the police officer did, there was no need for that. You know, you just should have arrested him, and this whole thing maybe never would have started. You don't.
Right.
The other thing is, you don't kick a man when he's down, and that's exactly what you did. So
right.
You were just as wrong on their part. I mean, what this man Floyd did, there's no excuse for what he did. But you do not go out and beat the living crap out of somebody, especially for 8.5 minutes or what long, or however long it was.
Yeah.
You're supposed to protect people, not make things worse.
Yeah.
You're supposed to uphold the law, not break it.
It's a powder keg, my friend. It's a powder keg. And I think that's everyone gets lost in the shuffle, too. Yeah, go ahead, Curtis.
Something so ugly that I see in chokeholds. We have a history of being lynched. And so something I see is you traded the rope in the tree for police officers choking you out. It's like being lynched again.
Mm-hmm.
And that hurt.
And what I would say about that is firsthand with Curtis, you know, he knows because he was a police officer. So he's got, you know, idea on, you know, both sides of the coin and how the whole system works. It's really, you know, it's been quite interesting listening to, you know, to some of his stories when he was a police officer and things that have happened and stuff. So I got a lot of respect for Curtis's opinion in this particular, you know, conversation we're having.
Sadly, what I do know how strong police unions are. And they may be some of the strongest unions in the United States. They don't play.
Gotcha. Yeah.
They get connected.
They don't play. And not for us to get too far away from the topic, too. I think we'll have to definitely set aside some time to talk about that because I've got family that are police officers as well and people that I know personally that have been in that. So there's that. There's a respect, but there's also the other side of that, too. So, again, I would love for us to open this up and unpack this again at a later date too, whenever we have a slower week, if you will. But I know for the sake of the show, I'd love for us to talk about a couple things, as much as that is a tougher transition, if you will. But I know we want to talk about one or two things. One thing I do want to talk about is Patrick Mahomes, again, gets a huge, huge deal from the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, that's an amazing thing. And I guess we're going to talk about that, too. JQ's over here doing the money sign. So we'll let JQ talk, and then we'll go to Rob and then Gary and then Lou as well, too. So tell us your thoughts about that, JQ. What you think about that?
Oh, no, I was worried they need to go to Gary and Curtis, because I know they are sitting at home like, God damn, because Jerry's only pissed off. Like, why can I not get that done before this thing happened? I know Zach is at home over there two-stepping and whopping and everything. Like, we're going to get that money. We're going to get that money. Listen, that I mean, of course, you know, a 12-year deal, like, he's got 2 years left, and it's a 10-year extension. So 12 years with all the escalators to be hit with MVPs and Super Bowls to get to $500 million. But you know that's not going to really happen in the NFL contract. They're going to renegotiate that contract because he's got – years where, like, his, I think, like, his 2023 contract is guaranteed in 2021, and then the one in 2024 is guaranteed in 2022. There's only so many years when the NFL franchise is going to guarantee your contract 2 years in advance. Like, he's still going to ball out. If he balls out like that, then they're willing to pay that. But, you know, you're going to have some years where, you know, his roster bonus and his workout bonus is going to be like $40-something million dollars. And I understand the cap is going to go up, but you cannot have that kind of money in one person where they're like 20% of the cap. But, I mean, that is a – man, if you can get that cash, homie, go get that cash. I ain't mad at you. Get that cash, especially if you get the MVP and you win a Super Bowl. Like, you know, because you, well, know, yeah. you know you're not going to see all those years. That's not going to happen. Yeah. But I know Jerry Jones is sitting at home like, damn. And Bill O'Brien is sitting in Houston like, damn. Yeah, and Jim Harbaugh is sitting in, and John Harbaugh sitting in Baltimore like, damn, we got to pay all these dudes in the next couple of years, and this dude has just reset the market. Crazy.
Dak Prescott sitting there with his lips like, yeah, he's like, yeah.
Yeah, he said, man, yeah, straight cash, homie. How you going to pay that fine, Randy? Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie.
No, Jerry Jones is going to tell Dak Prescott, you lost to the New York Jets.
Let's talk about loose teams like that.
Well, does anybody on this panel think the New York Jets was a good team?
Let's hear from Rob. It was Rob's turn. Then we'll get our turn.
Well, I mean, Curtis making a good point there. He did lose to the New York Jets, and the New York Jets was not playing decent football there until the end of the season last year. And if my thinking goes back to last season, I think they played the Jets early in the season. And I'm not even – was Sam Darnold even back by that game? I believe he was.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was back in that game.
That was his first game back.
They were very competitive at the end of the year, but it's still a very good point. That wasn't a very good Jets team at that time. And, I mean, let's face it. I mean, Dak Prescott is not on Patrick Mahomes' level. I mean, solid quarterback, yes, but, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is already a great quarterback. He's already been an NFL MVP. He's already led a team to the Super Bowl. And is right now, if anybody is a general manager in the football league and you just had to do a redraft of every single player in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes would be your number one pick. So let's face it, Dak Prescott has no leverage to get paid like Patrick Mahomes. Now, that being said, his price tag probably does still go up. Does it go up to the Patrick Mahomes level? Absolutely not. But, I mean, when he's somewhere in the $30 to $35 million range and Patrick Mahomes has got a contract over $50 million a year, hey, I mean, it does bring his price tag up. I mean, he probably can go up to like the $38 million price range now if that's what quarterbacks are going to be getting, which, you know, it's, I can see why the Chiefs did a long-term deal right now because the cap, there's going to be a lot of uncertainty with the cap here in the next couple of years because of the pandemic that we're in right now. Obviously, the salary cap is going to go down the next couple of years because we're going to lose revenue here when it comes to, you know, lack of fans being at games. I mean, I don't know if you saw the report today. The Ravens even issued something to their fans that they're looking at 14,000 fans at the most, if they have fans. So you're going to lose a lot of revenue, you know, unless they're charging four times more for those 14,000 tickets to kind of make up for the other fans that's not there. So, you know, we have to see what that looks like. But, I mean, let's face it, Dak Prescott, his value is probably going up a little, but he can't go in a room and ask for $50 million. And there's only one other quarterback in the league, in my opinion, that probably can go in and ask for close to Patrick Mahomes' money right now, and that's Russell Wilson. He's probably the only other guy in the league that probably can go in a room and ask for something close to that that kind of deal right now. But it does put, like, you know, I do agree with JQ, though. It does put the Cowboys in a predicament. It does raise his value, but not to the $50 million a year range.
Yeah. Well, with that said, whoever – I don't even know who Dak Prescott's agent is, but he's got – and I don't know if he's necessarily got Dak buying into it, but Dak's probably just leaving a lot of this stuff up to his agent at this point, and I'm sure he keeps him up to it. But he's got this guy jacked up, and he thinks that he is, you know, he thinks he's the next Patrick Mahomes. That's what his agent thinks. I don't know if Dak does, but I'm a Cowboy fan, and Dak is not Patrick Mahomes. He's not in the ballpark of Patrick Mahomes. You know, and that's just being real. Is he going to get paid? He's going to get paid, and he's going to get paid big. I'm kind of thinking with this whole thing that they're going to just, you know, keep him franchise tag and see how things play out next year. I don't know if he's necessarily at this point going to get any kind of a contract before July 15th deadline.
But you know what the thing about that is? You know what the thing about that is, though, is that it does hit Jerry because you don't have the long-term security in it. But if you franchise him again, I think it puts him at 38. Is it with the kicker from 15% going up? Next year to 38. And it still keeps him below that, you know, average year value from the home. So you're at a point where you're still paying in that same ballpark, but what you don't have is that ability to say, okay, I've got this guy for the next five, you know, the next 10 years like Kansas City has with Mahomes, but you're still paying him that kind of money. And that's why I say that for Jerry Jones, where you got to be sitting there like, well, damn, I got to go through this again. Now if I do it again, it's going to go up for what, like 41, 42 if you franchise him a third time, and you still have no long-term security with that if you Jerry, if that's your guy. So that's why, part of the reason why I say that about Jerry Jones being like, I don't want to pay him that, and not many people want to take it. Dak doesn't want to take that long of a contract, and that's the thing that Mahomes and Kansas City have over Dallas is that Mahomes was like, you know, I'm out of that Kansas City. I want to sign a 10-year deal, and Dak is like, nah, bro, I need 4 years so I can hit this market again, son. So it's tough. It's really tough for Jerry Jones, but he definitely didn't want to see that. I know he was somewhere cussing up a storm on that yacht. He might have slapped somebody.
I think Jerry Jones ain't looking at – he's not looking at Patrick Mahomes. Jerry Jones is looking at that Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think Carson Wentz is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. And Carson Wentz is making more money than Dak Prescott. And all Jerry's telling Dak, you better win this division, because if that boy Carson Wentz wins this division again, I'm done with you, Dak. You know, I'm serious. I'm keeping it real, and I'm thinking like a football coach, and I'm thinking about like a football owner. You're not beating Carson Wentz.
Don't matter.
How am I going to pay you any money? How am I going to pay you any money? You can't beat Carson Wentz. That's all Jerry's looking at. We gotta win the visions here. We gotta win the visions here.
All right.
We gotta win them for 5 and 6 years. And you got Carson Wentz in your
have a timer. I'm gonna have to have a timer on you guys, man. We're just like not painting. We're just not. Hey, Lou, really quickly.
just tell us your thoughts, and I'm curious if you think that Sam Darnold is the man for you guys, man. Go ahead.
If Darnold doesn't get his act together this year, I think he's going to be a goner. I mean, you know,
what?
He did show some signs of life in the towards the end of the season last year, but not enough. If he doesn't perform well this year, I think we're going to look for a new quarterback.
Wow.
I think he'll let his quarterback run out, but...
Well, you know what? If they tank, like if they suck, and they can get like Justin Fields or forever being Trevor Lawrence, if they can get that one spot.
Just so you guys know, JQ and I got a text battle going on right now.
That was hilarious. I know y'all going in. I kept trying to concentrate, and they talking about Nebraska, like you know. I was talking about that was before 1960. I was like, man. Y'all are texting me up.
That's that hate.
Man.
Just so you all know, we got a text message battle going on between who has the better football program, the Big Ten or the SEC. And
SEC.
DQ sends me a list with has Yale, Harvard, and Penn, and Princeton, and Mount Union. All those wins was before the 1960s, man. Come on.
Hey, they're still all on the ledger, playboy. They're still all on the ledger. Get your way there.
Oh, my God.
Nebraska was in the Big Eight.
He didn't say anything. He didn't say anything of the sun.
Hey, one thing I want, I tried to ask my Google, and my Google went all over the place. I want to know how many black football players were the highest paid athlete in the NFL, in the history of the NFL. How many black athletes were the highest paid in the NFL? I know one thing, though. Michael Vick got a 10-year deal with Atlanta.
McNabb,
and it was 100
in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
140.
Yeah, it's not many. Yeah. It hasn't been many in the NFL. That's a really good point. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes has it right now, but it has not been many over the history of the NFL. And historically, it's always been a quarterback. And and now you're starting to see a few more black quarterbacks shine in the NFL.
So that'd be a good thing to research.
Yeah, it was funny because I'm trying to like, I thought it was like 100 million. I got it, and don't quote me on that too if you're calling in. You know, it was a $130 million contract too. Yeah, so that 10-year, $130 million, which was he had a $37 million in guaranteed money. So you know, I think he paid certain things back in that too. But that was a huge deal at the time. So that was definitely a great call as well, Curtis. Hey, we're wrapping this up. We've got it's right 11:43, so we don't have too much time here. I wanted to let Rob talk about the mock draft because he had the awesomeness to post to the page. And Lou, not sure if you're a Knicks fan or who you if you're booking that. So love to hear. Okay, all right, cool. So we'll kind of go with that too. Rob, if you want to kind of talk about that as well, I'm hoping I'd love to hear about you made a change for Isaac Okoro, guard forward going from Auburn for Atlanta. I'm still a fan, no matter what you say, of LaMelo Ball. I don't care if the ball family comes in. I'm cool with that. But, that's just me, you know. So bring in – I know JQ loves me to say that too, but bring it all in. LaVar Ball is actually on Blackish, which is hilarious, man. So, again, that's me. So, Rob, you can, again, talk about the mock draft and then show some love to Lou's Knicks, if you will. And speaking of the Knicks and speaking of big contracts – I still want to do a shout-out to Bobby Bonilla, Bobby Bonilla Day in July. Maybe he'll get that. So he gets $1 million every single night for, like, up to 2032, something like that. So you wonder if this can happen to, like, the 10-year deal can happen to Patrick Mahomes. Every single year, he's spanning that out. He's getting money till whatever. Go ahead, Rob.
All right. So one of the big change here is I have a new number one pick now. I've been having Anthony Edwards at the number one spot for – just about all of my previous mocks, but I moved James Wiseman into the number one spot. 7'1", got a 7'6" wingspan, very athletic, has the potential to be a dominant big man in the in an NBA. It might be too hard to pass up if Golden State gets the number one pick. I mean, because you still do have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins on that team. And you get a Wiseman, a developing young big man who can run the floor, that can shoot the basketball, that can block shots. And then would you corral him, surround him with those kind of veterans, you know, it could be really scary. So move James Wiseman.
They got Marquise Chris.
Say what?
I said they got Marquise Chris, though. I'm messing with you, man. Go ahead.
Oh, man, that sounds like something Gary and Curtis will say about their Blazers.
You know, and we were being nice to Rob. We were being nice to Rob.
You can't. Hey, you can't be nice to Rob.
We got to spruce it up a little bit, Gary. You know that.
Wow.
My bad.
Let
her fly.
Well, the Blazers. There's only one, for me, there's only one wild card, and that's Carmelo Anthony. If Carmelo Anthony turns into that superstar that he was once, if he can turn into that superstar again, the Blazers are going to do some damage. It's all on Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We'll get to, so number two, move in, Anthony Edwards. We moved him to the number two spot to Cleveland. Obviously, probably the most athletic player in the draft. Freakish athlete, about 6'4". He's got a 6'9" wingspan too. At 6'4", as far as scoring the basketball, getting to the rack, shooting the basketball, running the floor, and obviously Cleveland has already got a pretty good guards over there already. But he'll be too good of a talent to pass up. Obi Toppin, I moved him down to the number three spot from Dayton, 6'9", 220 pounds, with a 7'1" wingspan. Also very similar, very long, athletic, can run the floor. And I know Andre asked about Isaac Okoro, 6'6" guard out of Auburn. He might be the best defender in this draft, too, and a really good shooter. And all these guys are the same, 6'6", long wingspan, about 6'10" wingspan, too, and probably the best overall defender in this draft. Move LaMelo Ball down to number five in Detroit. And we talked about LaMelo Ball last week. He's really a taller version of his brother. High basketball IQ, can run the point, can see the floor. He just has to improve that jump shot. And right now you're just seeing Lonzo Ball come around with a jump shot in the NBA. So that's something that he really needs to develop. But he's a player that I think has a really bright future as well. The Knicks, I got him taking Killian Hayes, a point guard from France. Pretty quick, vision coming over from France. So I have him at the Knicks, number six spot. Tariq Halliburton. Tariq Halliburton, point guard from Iowa State. That's on seven to the Bulls. Very cerebral basketball player. Very smart, great court vision. And we talked about this last week. The only thing that's lacking in Tyrese Halliburton's game, he's not the greatest of athletes. But, I mean, you've seen these kind of players come in and be successful. Luka Doncic, Trae Young. Not great athletes, but they're just great basketball players. And not saying Tyrese Halliburton is going to be as good as those two, but he's a very cerebral, smart basketball player. Remind me a lot of Andre Miller, where he just controls the pace of a basketball game. Onyeka Okongwu, a power forward from USC, he's a real sleeper in this draft. He's about 6'9", 245 pounds, 7'2 wingspan, can score, very strong, shot the ball like 62% from the field at USC. He's a real sleeper in this draft. The Precious dude, I moved him up two spots to San Antonio. I had the Pelicans taking Patrick Williams, small forward from Florida State. Another guy, a athletic wing player, great defender. And
his
Portland,
shot.
Portland, they got Cole Anthony from North Carolina, combo guard to back up those great guards that Portland have already up there in Portland. Sadiq Bey, another sleeper in this draft from Villanova. I have him going to Minnesota, and he's a guy that I think could be a Bruce Bowen type. Great defender, great spot-up shooter. You know, be a good value to get a player like him in the mid-rounds of the first round there. Vernon Carey, the big man from Duke, I have him going 24 to Miami. The Knicks have another pick on the later part of the first round. I have him taking Nico Mannion from Arizona, combo guard there. And then the Lakers, I have him taking Jalen Smith, power forward from Maryland, 6'10", 215 pounds. He's also got a long wingspan of about 7'2", needs to get in the weight room, has to get a little stronger, but a great athlete, can run the floor, a good spot-up shooter, but he just has to get a little stronger to get ready for the next level.
We don't need to come in and be no star. Just need some role players.
You're right.
Look at that.
I want to ask you this.
Hey, yeah.
Because I've been seeing all kind of reports. Who is actually putting out a report talking about Damian Lillard was going to get traded to the Lakers? I was like, who the hell are the Lakers going to give to the Blazers that the Blazers are going to make a deal for that? I just saw that report, and I got y'all on here.
That's a
fake
thing.
That's crazy.
That's a fake thing that's out there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not out there. I'm going to tell you something. Damian Lillard really likes here. And he's the man here. And he really wants to be the man here in Portland. This is his spot. And we're glad to have him.
I know you
but
are.
I've seen a few of those. Him with a Lakers uniform on, which kind of – a little bit of throw up came
out. Watch your mouth.
And then also he was in a Knicks uniform. And Damian Lillard's been on the local news a few times talking about it. And he says, I don't know where that's at. I don't know where that started.
Okay. Sorry, that was just my
favorite. He made it perfectly clear. He even had kind of a Twitter feud with KD when he left. When he left OKC, about leaving a team that essentially was right there to go to the finals if they hadn't really hadn't blown it. And he was appalled that they didn't stick together and try and get over that hump with his team instead of just joining the arch enemy. I don't think it's in him. You never know, though, but I don't believe that that's in him.
Westbrook is not fun to play with, man. I don't know what you heard, man. I didn't mean
to derail it. It was just the draft talk. I figured if they even had a chance to do it, it would have to involve some draft picks because they trade everybody to get the AD. So when I saw that report, I was like, who the hell the Lakers going to get a Blazers? They're like, you know what? Give me that dude that the Lakers are going to come off of. They're not giving them AD or LeBron. So who the hell else would the Blazers even want? So I'm sorry. That's where my mind went with the NBA talk.
It's all your fault, bruh. Hey, Art, real quick, hold that thought real quick. So we've got like 7 minutes left in the show. Lou, I want you to plug your show for Saturday. Let us know how to reach out for you and all that fun stuff. And the Knicks stuff and all that fun
stuff. And the number real slow.
We can get all this taken down. So go ahead, man. So it's all about you.
All right.
Go ahead, man.
All right. The Enhanced Sports Show. We're on Saturday.
The Enhanced Sports Show. Okay, write that down. The Enhanced Sports Show. Okay.
Right. 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay. And the number to call is 512-543-4662. Yes.
Okay.
The Enhanced Sports Show?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. All right.
Well, I think Curtis and I are going to call into the show this week.
All right, great. So. By the way, you can also find me on, for email, you can reach me on my Gmail account at lutenor45@capitalgmail.com. Remember to capitalize that G, please, or else you're not going anywhere.
Lou, send the email one more time.
lutenor45@capitalgmail.com.
Well, lutenor, is that what you're saying?
No, tenor. That E is silent, so careful.
Spell that. I don't. I'm not hearing what you're saying.
Lutenor, which is my real name, by the way, at 45 at capitalgmail.com. Yes, I do use my real name. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but that's what I do. I use my real name.
I mean, these are all our real names, too. I mean, a lot of our emails are tied to different things, you know, so, but I get it, man. So, you know.
Not ours.
I know, but a lot of people try to use, like, stage names and whatnot for this stuff, but I use my real name.
I use mine, too.
Kwame Ture, that's me, so we'll make sure that you got that down, by the way.
You know, sometimes I use, like, Schmuck Boy or whatever. Or...
I got you. All right. Yeah. We got 5 minutes left for the East Coasters here. So, again, technically,
right,
we got 2 minutes here. So, but, Lou, thank you for that.
Hey,
gonna, you know,
I
want to
make one closing thought.
Go ahead.
I have a closing thought.
Go ahead.
I don't know if you were aware, but we did have our first professional sports game last time for the first time in 4.5 months. MLS played tonight. So, it looks like we're on the way back to pro sports. Thank God.
The basketball tournament is also playing.
That's true.
I know. How's that going? I haven't even catched any of it.
You know, the games are getting better. I mean, they were lopsided for the first few days, but now the games are playing a lot more competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a good call.
I wait on the Carmen crew to come play next week.
Sounds good. Yeah, I hated to hear about the whole Dallas team had to withdraw from the MLS going to Orlando because of so many players on the team with the virus. So,
That's scary.
And did you guys hear that the Ivy League are not going to play sports until January?
January. They cut a whole bunch of their games, too.
Yeah, they were saying that. They were saying that the Dallas soccer team was hanging out with Dak Prescott, so that's kind of how that happened. So just a little,
they went down to Houston and went to Rob's house.
Of course, they went to my house.
I don't think it's funny. I think Jerry's not laughing about anything.
He's not.
I don't think he's laughing about anything. Last year was a nightmare for Jerry. And last year probably rocked him to his core. And he's probably at his wit's end.
Yeah, they got him a couple of tickets get on that $230 million. Yeah, he was all right after a couple of days. I ain't going to cry for Jerry. He's chilling.
He can afford it.
All right, fellas. So I shall bid you adieu, and we'll talk again hopefully next week.
I've got a wedding on Saturday, but I want y'all to call in and represent for us too, man. So please keep that going too. But yeah, go ahead. 10 minutes. All right, here we go. Hey, really quickly, we're gonna end this. We got.
Hey, see, social distance, Andre. Don't let nobody come to the DJ table.
All the time, my friend. All the time. And we're gonna do the last topic. Go ahead, Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. We're talking sports with the 12th man. We expect to be on Wednesday night again on next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. in Hawaii. Make sure you all join us on next Wednesday. We'd love to hear from you. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. We're going to have a very brief OT portion. We plan to have a 10-minute segment. We're going to wrap up a topic or two, and then we're going to call it a night. We'll click on the same link on tomorrow to get the rest of the show. And once again, we'll be back on next Wednesday night. If you guys got any feedback from any of the topics we discussed, make sure you hit us up on our Facebook or Twitter. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. Shout out to my homeboy, Joey Votto. That's not really my homeboy, but rocking that Black Lives Matter t-shirt at practice the other day. That's why I got my Votto on today for y'all, just so you didn't know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Thanks for doing that. Appreciate you, Joey. I'll tell you next week.
Yeah, JQ, your eyelids are getting a little heavy, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm old, man. I'm trying to go put some nickels under here or something, or some Vaseline, you know, try to keep them together.
Dude, anybody give me golf in this week?
Yeah, man, I want to play today.
I shot a 103. I mean, I broke 100 once. I was trying to chase that again. But, yeah, I was – I went playing around.
Yeah, but how many holes did you have? You shot a 103, you said?
Yeah.
How many holes did you have left?
I did over 18. I'm trying to get better, but, yeah, it's a work in progress.
It is. You know, last year at this time, I was playing a lot, and I was consistently shooting in the mid-80s, and I was playing what I thought was, for my level, out my ass, you know, maybe 14, you know, 13, 14 handicap right in there. And then I went to go play with these guys, and, you know, I kind of took a step up, you know, to a different group of guys, and I knew these guys were good.
JB DeMarco.
And it looked like I'd never had a golf club in my hand in my life. It was horrible.
Hey, man, I'm trying to get to shooting the mid-80s. I'll take that. Hey, I shoot some guys that played in the mid-80s. I'm like, yeah, I'm just learning, man. So I can't do what you're doing yet, but I'm trying to get there. But if you're shooting in the mid-80s, you're
it's fine, though. It'll break you down. You know, it's that one shot, right? It's that one shot that's going to bring you back. You don't remember topping it over or hitting it into the water or whatever. But, boy, you remember that nice approach shot onto the green or that nice drive or that long putt. You know, that's what you'll always remember. It's a great sport, though. People don't realize the high hand coordination it takes for that sport.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And what's nice about it is an old guy like me, you know, can go out and still participate. You know, I can't play football anymore or basketball or anything like that, but I can still golf.
I can.
Exactly. Hey, easy, in your mind.
In my mind. I just was going to say, I still.
Not in my mind, it's my hips, my knees, my ankles, my shoulders, my back.
Right.
It's funny. Right. I'm feeling like the Astros because JQ is giving me signs, man. I feel like I'm trying to steal those, man. So again, I don't know if he's saying 5 minutes, 10 minutes, man. You know what's happening. So again, we're gonna like let you guys get your last thought for the night, and then we'll wrap us up too, man. So I'll start off with Rob, who's not anywhere in the screen. So I don't know if he's getting a snack. So we're gonna start with Rob. We're gonna go to JQ,
Watermelon,
Curtis, and Gary.
Curtis,
hey,
David
Gary,
Harrison, his name is
next. Green,
and I'm
going to
wrap this up, but go ahead. What you doing,
Rob? Green seedless grapes. Green seedless grapes.
Asparagus? No, I told you.
Yeah,
you're going to
get
it.
He's making up something. What am I eating? I got to make something up.
Come back in the camera for your last wrap-up topic.
All right, my topic here, I'm going to talk about Curtis' favorite team, the Patriots. Will Cam Newton be starting week one, or will the Patriots have a rotation at quarterback? And obviously it's going to come down to Cam Newton and his health situation, right? And if Cam Newton is healthy, he's going to be starting quarterback for the Patriots. There's no doubt about that. I don't foresee Bill Belichick doing a quarterback rotation like some teams do at the college level. He will be the starting quarterback for the Patriots as long as he's healthy. And I think that's what Bill Belichick have in mind when the Patriots have signed Cam Newton. So I just can't see him going there to be in the rotation system with Stenham. So it's definitely Cam Newton's job to have. And I think, you know, if he's healthy, you know, you got to give the Patriots a strong chance of winning that AFC East because Buffalo has improved, but it's still not a strong Buffalo team, and it's still not a strong division. So you got to give them a chance there in the AFC East.
Man, wow! Shots fired with the AFC East. I'm gonna take a circle back a little bit to what we started the night with. But come on, DC! Shout out to FedEx for asking Washington to take. They're gonna take their names off to change the team name. Shout out to Nike for taking the jerseys and all the memorabilia off the website. And listen, we got to get to a point where we can come to an understanding about certain things. The Redskins, think about it, the Redskins. You've got to change that name.
Yeah, that's long overdue.
Let's not get carried away, the Indians and the Chiefs and the Braves, like, those aren't all the same things. I want us to get to a point where we don't have a hysteria and we overreact and put everything on the same playing field. There are certain things that are definitely wrong, and you know they're wrong when you say them. And there are other things that
Indians
you have to
are wrong.
Into
I
that.
Be
no, the Indians are wrong. The mascot is wrong. The mascot is ridiculous. Just calling it the Indians is to me that's not wrong. But the mascot with the Wahoo
it
Indians
is wrong.
One of the things I tell my friends in America, these people were never Indians. Indians are from India. Indians have their own country.
That's correct.
These people were Native American or they were First Nation. They were never
indigenous
Indians in this
people,
country.
Indigenous people, Native Americans, there's another way. And I've got some in me.
That's
a long why. But it's not going to be indigenous people. But what I was saying, so, I mean, we can't go crazy, too. And I agree with you, Curtis. That's 100% too. I mean, we're still cool, JQ. I'm just saying. I just have a problem with Indians because, again, that's just the situation where that's the name. You know, like I said, again, you can talk about the Fighty Whiteys. You know, I don't know. But still, that's a whole other conversation, man. So,
yeah, the crackers.
But I just think the Indians, huh?
I mean, my thing is I don't think the crackers was right either. I know it had a different connotation from what it is
right
now. But true. My overall point is I just don't want to get – if you try to take a point and you overexpand it, it loses its meaning. And that's what my ultimate idea is. The Redskins, I totally get. But the thing about trying to get on the Braves or the Kansas City Chiefs for those pieces of changing it, let's not lose the value of what we're trying to get done by taking and say, just because we feel like we have this power right now, let's just change everything we think we might have a slight upsetness with. There are
now,
some things that are definitely wrong.
To do this. Yeah.
Yeah, but there are things that are definitely wrong that I would like to see change. But what I don't want to have happen is that, you know, you can lose your meaning with things if you try to run ramshot over everything. And it's like, not everything needs to be hit like that. And that's my only thing, because I don't want it to lose its value. When you overinflate something and do something crazy with it, it loses its value. People start looking like, well, come on, man, you're just getting carried away.
It's watering it down.
Absolutely.
It's watering the whole situation down. You know, the Redskins that's offensive, straight up offensive. There will be some people that are offended with the Chiefs or the Indians or whatever, but to what level? They're not nearly the same level. You know, but that's just my opinion. It's not a scientific study. I just, you know, it is what it is. But I understand what JQ's saying with, you know, basically, you know, you can't water it all down. You know, you have to stick with a topic and really focus in on that one. You know,
and
I'm
agreeing
with
you.
Yes,
right.
That,
I'm agreeing with
you. I'm
saying
that could be different about it. I want to wield that hammer and give that hammer as much power as possible every time I wield it. When you start wielding that hammer on every single little thing, and it starts to lose its power on that hammer. Don't go overboard with the hammer on things that is not going to have the significance and the value that it needs to have for it. That's just me. We can disagree on that particular one with the Indians, but I'm just saying as a broader context, like, I don't want the Braves to change their name. I want the Chiefs to change their name. To me, those aren't derogatory terms. The Redskins, no question. That's got to go. That should have been gone.
Well, like you said, I agree. I don't think the Chiefs are. That's another conversation. I don't necessarily think that the Braves are. That could be maybe the Tomahawk thing, but I definitely think the Indians, that is not a cool name. I mean, again, now that you look at it, you're like, I mean, is it as bad as the Redskins? No. But again, if you are talking about that in the context of what it is, then yes, because again, they're Native Americans. So I agree with what Curtis said. So that, again, is it like as offensive as, no, but if we're doing it, let's go ahead and make that change too. We're already here, you know, so now's the time to do it. That's all I'm saying. So, anyway, that's my little two cents on that, too. Gary Curtis, man, we appreciate you guys. Man, great stuff, man. This has been a great conversation, as always, and I really wish that we could always keep talking. But, again, we're going to wrap this up. We're going to let Rob kind of fade into the distance, as always.
Well, let me say one thing. because I have a sweatshirt that now I'm having difficulty with. And I wore it last week. Today I'm wearing a Maryland Terrapin with a turtle sweatshirt. Last week I wore a St. John's Redman. Is St. John's still the Redman?
Yeah, the Red Storm, actually. They changed the name to the Red Storm.
Red Storm.
Okay.
Yep.
They changed it to the Red Storm. Okay, good, good. I got to get rid of that sweatshirt.
You went back in the day. You went to the old Big East.
Yeah.
Dude, that was like,
yeah, you went to the,
like
you went to the Chris Mullin, Mark Jackson days. Bill Winnie.
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Remember whenever we had the Minutemen for UMass and you had, like, they changed, like, the Orange Men. They changed a lot of names, too, like the Fighting Sioux. That's one of the conversation, Fighting Illini. I mean, there's a couple of names that, again, you don't want to, like, lose it in the thing, JQ. I hear what you're saying. Just there's a couple you definitely got to be like, all right, if you kind of think that way, you know, that's a whole other conversation. Because, again, there's ever been a team called the Fighting Blacks, you know, so, and whatever, you know, Fighting Negroes. So, you know, that hasn't come to, that's almost akin to what we're trying to get away from, if you think about it.
Wait a minute, man.
You know.
The Negroes is not an actual tribe, though. The Illini is a tribe.
But you know what I'm saying,
JQ.
But you
got to. I'm a tribe, though. I mean, like, I know what you're saying. And I guess sometimes it's slippery. So
I'm not
talking
about that one.
Yeah, I feel like, but that's not.
I wasn't saying we're a tribe. I'm just saying you could associate like the Atlanta Blacks, or you know what I'm saying. You can't say something like that. You can be like, whoa, what does that mean? You gotta think about that, right? Like, wait a minute, you know what I'm saying? And we used to make fun of it. There's actually a team called the Fighting Whiteys out there, which is hilarious. Like, man, but they think it's funny. Like, you know, like, come on, man, you know?
No, that's wrong. And that's wrong. And they
exactly.
should be mad about that.
Exactly. You know, so. You know,
oh, my God. It's like the fight. It's like, so we're gonna change the Fighting Irish?
I don't know.
Ooh, yeah. Are they still the Seminoles at Florida State?
But that's a tribe.
Yeah.
But that's an actual tribe, though. The Illini is a tribe. The Seminoles are a tribe. The Redskins is a derogatory name for Indians. So that's always been gone. But
yeah.
If you're talking about representing an actual tribe, I'm okay with that. The Chiefs, you know, the Chiefs is the head of the whole thing. I'm okay with that. But a derogatory term for them, that's not okay. That's why I was like, you got to be able to look at it and understand the nuances of the names and be like, okay, we're celebrating this tribe. We're celebrating this tribe. We're not celebrating the derogatory name for all Indians. That's why I'm like, I just want to make sure
they
do it responsibly. That's all.
They haven't damn given the Native Americans any money, man, for that, man. I'm just being careful. So they ain't getting
that's a different topic.
You know what I'm saying? I know. So you can be like,
yeah.
I'm giving respect. You ain't giving me nothing besides respect. Come on, man. We are the most, like, baddest, worst situation ever. Hey, go ahead and end the show, Rob, because we're going to be here all night, man.
Yeah. So what did they change the name to? Did it go back to the old baseball team, Washington Senators?
Yeah.
They had something on there that I forget what it was. I read it on the website, but that was Indian base, but not derogatory, but that would allow them to kind of keep some of those same symbolism with the that they've used for the Redskins, so they would have to do a full rebrand. I'll look that up and I'll send it to you. But it's something that's not ridiculous, but something that still ties to the Indian heritage where they can reuse some of the branding.
Gotcha. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and wrap up another great edition with Talking Sports to the 12th Man. Like I said, we're planning to be back on next Wednesday night at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For our friends in Oakland and San Francisco and Portland. And if you mention Oregon, you got to go with Eugene, Oregon, too, right? So if you're in Eugene, Oregon, down the road from Gary and Curtis, we're going to be on at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on next Wednesday night. Don't miss it. Good night, people.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate y'all indulging me in that. I just feel like, you know, in the vein of what we were talking about, that I think it's important for us to understand that we – keep our eye on the prize, so to speak, and advance this ball forward and not get distracted and not let that power lose some of the momentum by getting, you know, off kilter. So that was it. You know, feel free to email us and discuss with us on the Facebook page and call in and talk about it. But we appreciate y'all listening. Hope you everybody had a great 4th of July, and we will talk to you next week.
Peace.
Peace.
Much
you guys
love.
Be safe.
Much love, guys. Have a great evening, man.
Yeah.
Be safe, guys. We'll talk to you.
Check
in.
That's good.
We all masks, people.
Yeah. Hey, Curtis and I got to get down to the protest. We got to get off this phone. We'll talk to you guys later.
All right.
Yeah,
all
we're heading down here. Yeah, Bush used to call.
Wear y'all masks. I got some Saints masks for y'all. I'm gonna send them to you.
Nobody wants to wear that.
No, I'm offended by that name. Yeah, we got our mask. We could call them the New Orleans Baby Cowboys. Hey, peace out, you guys.
We beat y'all with a backup quarterback last year.
We'll see you guys.
All right, y'all. Shots fired.
All right.
Good night.
That's
y'all.
My new name for him. Official, my new name for him on this show is the Baby Cowboys. You want it now, Rob? You got it.
The Dallas used to be.
Wow. Good night, people.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Y'all.